بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. وعن أسماء بنت يزيد رضي الله عنها قالت: مر علينا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في نسوة فسلم علينا. رواه أبو داود والترمذي، وقال: حديث حسن. وهذا لفظ أبي داود، ولفظ الترمذي أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مر في المسجد يوما وعصبة من النساء قعود، فألوى بيده بالتسليم. The heading which Imam Nawawi rahimahullah had brought, the latter part of it dealt with this aspect, making of salam to what we call ajnabiya, women that are not our maharim. Not, in other words, maharim in Shariat means those with whom nikah is not permissible. So there is no khawf or fear of fitna. One's sister, one's aunt, etc. Ajnabiya, with whom nikah is permissible. There obviously caution is required, and the Shariat advocates that we do not initiate salam. If you see a young girl, strange woman, obviously you're not going to make salam. However, there are certain, we touched on this yesterday also, there are certain practices that what ulama refer to as the khususiyat, the special allowances that were given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one sense was the father of the ummah, the spiritual father and guide of the ummah, and all the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, it is our aqeedah and belief with regards to them that Allah ta'ala had given them what we call the mantle of ismat. In other words, they were divinely protected from committing sin. Simple logical explanation for this is that every action of a Nabi constitutes Shariat. Anything that Rasulullah ﷺ did, by following it, we are getting rewarded. It is a way of us getting the closeness of Allah Ta'ala, what we call the Sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ. Anything a Nabi did is Shariat, it's Deen. So if it was possible that a Nabi could commit guna and sin, even though he may make tawbah thereafter, then that particular practice of his could have been constituted to be part of Shariat, which is obviously goes against the logic of what is Shariat and Deen. So it is for this reason that it is absolutely imminent and necessary that a Nabi be protected. Nabi does not commit any sin whatsoever. So part of this protection that was accorded to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of it certain allowances, for example, فَانْكِهُ مَا تَعْبَ لَكُم مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَا وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ. You and I, Allah Ta'ala says, maximum four nikahs at any one time. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, allowance was given more than that, reason being, تَعْلِيمُ لِلشَّرِيَةِ, to teach the Shariat, the domestic life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Other hikmats also ulama have mentioned. In the same way, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given this allowance of making salam to women also who were from what we call ajnabiya, those with whom nikah was permissible. This hadith which I just read passed previously, so this is the reason I'm not going to go into too much of detail. Asma bint Yazid radiallahu anha says, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by a group of women in the masjid, and he made salam to them. This is the riwayat of Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi. In the riwayat of Abu Dawud and in the words of Tirmidhi, there is a little addition to this, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by in the masjid one day, wa usbatum minan nisa'i qu'ud. There was a group of women that were sitting. Fa'alwa biyadihi bitaslim. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gestured towards them with salam. Previously this hadith passed, and there we mentioned that this is not sunnah. This practice of, instead of actually saying assalamu alaikum, to make ishara or to greet. Sometimes we greet with a gesture. Greeting with the gesture, if coupled with the salam, is fine. Just to suffice with the gesture and not say assalamu alaikum, that obviously the sunnah is not being discharged. That is why if you put the two riwayats together, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, yes, he gestured towards that group of women with salam, but sallam alayhim, he also articulated the salam. And as we mentioned, that this was an allowance in the case of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, greeting what we call ajnabiya women. For you and I, if it is an old woman from the ajnabiya, there's no khawf, no possibility of fitna, then we will make salam. Otherwise, salam will not be permissible. Like that, there are other instances. Shariat strongly advocates salam. You're supposed to make salam. But there are certain instances. Now somebody finds one young girl sitting in the shop, young girl walks in, he's smiling, making salam with her. And then obviously this leads to other things. Don't buy, what are you doing? This is wrong. No, Islam says we'll make salam. Yes, Islam says we'll make salam in certain instances. There are also instances where you're not supposed to make salam. One of it, obviously, as we mentioned, and we'll touch on a few since we've started with that. In fact, ulama say it is makruh to greet, prohibited, not allowed to greet in certain instances. For example, if there's a dars of hadith going on, talk of deen going on, or some people are sitting together and studying hadith, halqa of ta'lim. Now, when you pass there, you don't make salam because you're actually disturbing that halqa. There, in fact, ulama say it is makruh to greet. Somebody is giving a talk of deen, a khatib, or somebody, like I said, is muallim or muta'allim, learning and teaching deen, dars is going on, etc. In such an instance, don't make salam. Azan is going on. There, what we are required to do, listen to the azan and answer the azan. So don't disturb the person at that time by making salam. Likewise, if somebody himself is the muazzin or the iqama is being called out. Likewise, if there is what we call, obviously is not going to apply to us, but if it will apply in a lesser sense, if there is a sharia arbitration going on, some business dispute, some nikah dispute, the qazi or the panel of ulama or judges are sitting together and dealing with that, in that instance, when you pass by them, you will not make salam. Likewise, if somebody is reading Quran or engaged in zikr, don't disturb that person. He's involved in an ibadat. At that time, you don't make salam to that person. So there are certain instances, our Shariat is very comprehensive. And we should take it. In fact, in these instances, for example, dars of hadith is taking place, or somebody is reading Quran, there it is sawab not to make salam, makruh to make salam. So we should be cognizant of these things. Another aspect, somebody is in the toilet, you don't make salam with them. There are certain instances, Allah protect us, if somebody is doing something haram. Somebody is doing something haram, like singing, or involved in some haram activity. There also, it will be makruh to make salam. Babu tahrimi ibtida'il kafir bis salam wa kayfiyatir rad alayhim واستحباب السلام على أهل مجلس فيهم مسلمون وكفار. We are drawing towards the end of this chapter of Salam. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah brings a very pertinent in our context where we are a minority in this country, and it's very, very real possibility that we will come into contact with kuffar and disbelievers. Now the issue of making salam with them, should we make salam with kuffar and with disbelievers? So the heading Imam Nawawi rahimahullah brings, the chapter which deals with the complete prohibition of initiating salam with a kafir. And should a kafir make salam to you, a disbeliever make salam to you, the manner in which you are supposed to respond or reply. And this chapter deals with the desirability, in other words, it's encouraged. If there's a group of people sitting together in which there are Muslims and non-Muslims, in that instance, you are required to make salam. In fact, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah specifically mentions it is mustahab. It will be desirable. If there's a group of Muslims and non-Muslims sitting together, you know, you're not going to say now that Islam says don't initiate salam with a kafir, and because there's Muslims and non-Muslims sitting together, so because of the kufar, they are not going to make salam. There we are encouraged actually to make salam. Obviously, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, under this heading, will bring a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherein these situations are made clearer to us. Wa Nabi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu anna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam qal, la tabda'u al-yahud wala an-nasara bis-salam. فَإِذَا لَقِيْتُمْ أَحَدَهُمْ فِي طَرِيقٍ فَاتَّرُوهُ إِلَىٰ أَدْيَقِهِ رَوَاهُ مُسْلِمٍ. Before I translate this hadith, it's important for us to, when we hear the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as I mentioned many times, it's important to understand the mizaj, the temperament, why did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say this. And a lot of times, things were said or guidelines were given that were pertinent to a particular set of circumstances. Now to take that and then try to generalize the usage of it will not be something that is in keeping with Shariat. Sometimes a situation or a condition or a set of circumstances demands a certain reaction that will not apply in another reaction. Simple example. Very, very simple example. Somebody tells you, listen, they're walking up to you. So he doesn't give me water. So what does that mean? It means, obviously, take a cup, full water and give the person. Now the same person, mashallah, got his lungi on, he got his towel over his shoulder and he walks to you and say, give me water. You take one cup and give him, he say, what's wrong with you? Pagal ho gaya. Give me water means arrange a bucket because I'm going to bath. So both said, give me water. But obviously, the understanding we'll take based on the set of circumstances will be completely different. In the same way, it's important to understand the context in which Rasulullah ﷺ said certain things. The reason I'm mentioning this is because of the latter part of the hadith. The first part of the hadith, obviously, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah brings it, is quite clear. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not initiate, لا تبدأوا, don't be the first. Do not initiate with the Yahud, the Jews, وَلَنَّصَارَى and the Christians, salam. Do not initiate salam with them. I'm digressing. This month of December, if we are not even supposed to make salam, or start the salam with a kafir or a disbeliever, how is it possible that Shariat in any way is going to advocate or allow our Muslim businesses with banners of Merry Christmas and totally what we call shirk practices. قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَانُ وَلَدًا لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدَّا تَكَادُ السَّمَوَاتِ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْهُ وَتَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضُ وَتَخِرُّ الْجِبَالُ هَدَّا أَنْ دَعُوا لِلرَّحْمَانِ وَلَدًا وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لِلرَّحْمَانِ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا. Allah Ta'ala said, they say that Rahman has a son. They attribute a son, na'uzu billah, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have brought forth an absolutely damning, terrible statement. How could they even attribute such an insult to Allah? That Allah needs children, na'uzu billah, or that Allah Ta'ala has offspring. Allah Ta'ala says, the poisonous effect and the filth that is associated with the statement, if it was allowed to have its full effect, the heavens and the earth would have crumbled as a result of it. That even the earth and the skies, Allah has given them perfect kamil tawheed and iman. They cannot bear to hear something like this. These creations of Allah cannot bear it. Now what is Christmas in essence? Although historically it's incorrect. But what is it? It's a celebration, na'uz billah, of the birth of Isa alayhi salam. In other words, the son of God, according to them. So how can a Muslim in his business advertise season's greetings, Merry Christmas, etc.? Some Islamic countries, so-called Islamic countries, now in the airports you find all these decorations. We are supposed to be totally far away from such things. Don't lose sight of the shirk that is associated. Very important. We're not talking about the mushrik himself. Islam doesn't say you must attack that person. Mushrik himself, the one who's practicing this, for him we'll make dua of hidayat. Allah guide him. But we ourselves, there has to be this aversion in the heart. where Allah is saying that this is something that will lead to the destruction of the heavens and the earth, such a statement of shirk, such a statement of ascribing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In kullu man fis samawat wal ard illa atir rahmani abda. Whether it's Isa alayhi salam, whether it is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam, whoever it may be, heavens and the earth, every person, every being, every entity is a slave of Allah, is not the son of Allah. We cannot associate ourselves or even go close to such a statement of shirk. In any case, I digress. If we are not even supposed to initiate salam with a kafir and a disbeliever, how can we be greeting them, or season's greetings, and having these type of things, very often you find the temptation, particularly in the commercial world, comes about. So we have to be careful in this regard. Shall we continue? We've run out of time. So